Hey, this is Craig Dillstrom Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kalamazoo.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's all right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the GSL Podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 2. Thank you for joining me. Going to have a great episode today. We have some fan mail, some match recaps, and as well as an introduction to the co-host of the GSL Podcast for Season 3. So a lot to look forward to. Let's jump right into the news.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
That's right. First up, we have some fan mail. This coming from Ryan Pinto on Lotlum with the subject line Lotlum defense. You're going to notice Lotlum is a theme of this podcast with a lot of different stuff related to their team. So Ryan writes in, just as a young player, joined the league at 16 years old and I've played 3 seasons and I'm enjoying the podcast. First of all, thanks for this shout out, Ryan. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. I'm on Lotlum and I think you're basing your team analysis too much on reputation and history. I think that Lotlum's defense is the strongest part of the team, only giving up 7 goals last season and winning the best defense in the league. We haven't let in any goals this season, and 3 out of 4 defenders are under 21, myself, Josh, and Tyler. The young guys are the ones in good shape, and the play really improves when all the 23 and younger guys are on. I don't think we need to make any changes to improve the defensive lineup. Thanks, Ryan. So first off, I'm going to say this is perfect example of what fan mail should be like. The reasons being, first of all, he disagrees with me, which is great. You always want to have other people's opinions and also stimulate debate, bring up discussion points. Secondly, he doesn't just disagree with me or make a statement. He explains why. He gives some facts behind what he's saying and reasons for why his opinion differs from mine. So huge shout out to Ryan for this great example of fan mail, and hopefully other players and other teams can follow suit. As I know, the podcast generates a lot of conversation and debates and disagreements over what's said. So if you write in similar to this, we can have a discussion about it. So I'm going to address Ryan's email by breaking it down into different sections and doing a critical appraisal on it, meaning looking at the validity of his points, if there's any biases, if I have any biases, and how we can tackle this argument. So the first point he makes is that he's young, he's played 3 seasons in the league, and he thinks that I'm basing my analysis too much on reputation and history. So one thing I will say is that because Ryan is so young and has only played 3 seasons, he has what's called recency bias. And this means you'll base your opinions on the most recent things that you've seen. This is very common with professional sports where an athlete will have an amazing game or an amazing few games scoring lots of goals. And all of a sudden he'll become the talk of the town. Everyone will start praising him, saying how great he is. And they'll ignore everything before that and only base it on the most recent events. So by having only played 3 seasons of the, 23 seasons the league's been on and Lotlum's been around, there's a recency bias in that you're only looking at what you're seeing right now when you've been in the league. Now, contrast that with myself, I actually have a historical bias, which is what Ryan's pointing out. This means that rather than look at the present state of the team and what's going on right now in the moment, I might be basing my analysis too much on what's happened in the past and the history of the team. I think this is a valid point. I think that maybe judging Lotlum by its history alone might put them at a disadvantage when it comes to analyzing their defensive capabilities or where their strengths and weaknesses are as a team. This is something I'm definitely going to open my mind up to and look for as the season progresses. I can actually relate to this problem that he's talking about because coming from Aldona, we have a similar issue in that we're known as a very physical defensive team with a lack of possession and offense, and we're trying to become more of an offensive possession-based team and bring more than just our defense. The next point he brings up is that last season, Lotlum only gave up 7 goals and they won the Best Defensive Team of the League award. Now, it is worth noting that the Best Defensive Team is automatically given to the team with the least amount of goals conceded. So this isn't quite the same as people voting on the Best Defensive Team, because sometimes you can have really good players on a team, but they were away or they had, you know, extenuating circumstances leading to more goals in a certain game versus the other. However, having the least goals conceded is still a remarkable achievement, and that's why they won the Best Defensive Team award. Now, my argument against this would be that they always say the best form of defense is good offense. And what they mean by that is, for every minute you spend in the opposing team's half, pressuring their net, shooting the ball, taking corners, having possession, that is one less minute you're actually playing defense. And that's why teams that collapse when they're up a goal or two and just keep trying to play defense, kick the ball out, you constantly give the opposing team possession and they just constantly keep attacking you. So this leads to you having to play defense over and over and over again. So that's why they say the best defense is actually a good offense. And because Lotlum has such a strong offense and such a strong possessive gameplay style, this means that the actual work required to play defense on the team is far less than, for example, if you were to play on Donna Paula or Kolva, you know, other teams where they might not have the same amount of possessions, so you're playing defense a lot more. However, that being said, Lotlum still will be required to play defense in every game. It's impossible to have 100% possession. And even if you did have a great possessive game style, the other team can play the long ball, forcing them to skip over all Lotlum's midfielders and attack the D directly by playing a long ball through to the wingers or to their striker. So it's not like the Lotlum defense are not playing D or that the goalie's not involved. So because they still have to actually play throughout the game and manage these long ball situations, the fact that they've conceded so few goals is very impressive. He mentions that 3 of the 4 defenders that currently play are less than 21, and this is a very impressive statistic. This means that not only are they young in their careers and they have a long way to develop, but whenever you have a group of guys playing together from a young age and growing up together, you get used to each other's styles. It becomes kind of a non-verbal thing where you know, oh, this player, you know, he prefers it on his left foot, he prefers it on his right foot, he likes when you play a through ball over the top or on the ground. You just learn each other's tendencies, and this is going to be a huge asset for them going forward. So I definitely think that's a strong point he made as well. His final point is that the young guys on the team are the ones in good shape, and the play really improves when all 23 and younger guys are on, and I don't think we need to make any changes to improve the defensive lineup. I can't argue with him that the youngest players are the ones that are in the best shape. I think that's definitely true, and I do think that when they have their younger lineup on, they do play with a very high tempo and energy, and it makes it hard to keep up with them. However, I think when some of those veterans go off, like Ron, for example, they lose a little bit of their composure, leadership, and ability to coordinate play. Now, I'm not saying it's a huge drop-off. They still play at a very high level. But sometimes having that veteran presence really helps guide them and kind of direct traffic and tell each player where to go, especially when you have so many players running around and a ton of off-the-ball movement. Where I do disagree with Ryan is when he says that there doesn't need to make any changes to improve the defensive lineup. And what I mean by that is, whenever you have a young group of players, there's always room to improve. And I don't mean that in, you know, your typical coach speak, oh, keep getting better, keep studying, keep working hard. I literally mean it as, you're very young, you haven't learned all the players' tendencies in the league, you haven't learned each other's tendencies yet, so there's definitely room to grow, there's definitely improvements that can be made. I think what he meant is more of a personnel change. He doesn't feel like new players need to be added or you need to recruit new people. And what I would point out is that Lotlum's been extremely dominant the past few years, but it took them a while to win that championship, that coveted championship that they got last year. And the reason for that, if you look at where they lost and why they lost, a lot of times it came down to either defensive error or goalkeeping error. I point back to 2 years ago in the finals between Lotlum and Aguada, with Aguada winning 3-2. One of the earlier goals was a corner kick that was fumbled by the goalie, not cleared by the defense, and tapped in by the Aguada team. This is a goal that could have easily been prevented, and I feel like that's just one of the examples where some improvements could be made. And keep in mind, whenever you're talking about a team's defensive capabilities, you're talking about the back four or back five, as well as the goalkeeper. Sometimes there's just situations where the defense couldn't have done anything, the goalie couldn't have done anything. Other times it's the defender's fault, other times it's the goalkeeper's fault. It's really on a case-by-case basis, but I'm not sure I agree with the line that no improvements need to be made, just because of the fact that if you look at the, even the past few years, which he's referencing, some of their losses in the playoffs have come down to goalie or defender error. Overall, though, I think Ryan makes some great points and definitely going to be keeping an eye on this as the season progresses. And if they keep playing really well and this young core keeps developing, I'll be the first to change my mind and acknowledge them. The other piece of news I wanted to bring up is that for two seasons now, I've been bringing on guests and trying to get other people's opinions and bounce ideas off other people. But I'd like to bring a little bit more consistency to this season. So I've elected to bring on a co-host. It might not be an every episode thing, but for the majority of the episodes, my new co-host will be joining us. And we're still looking to have guests. We can have a three-way conversation. We can bring on multiple people on the show. And so I highly encourage you to message in and either write fan mail or come on the show yourself, even for a brief cameo, or if you want to participate in a debate or a player profile, things like that. And for that reason, I'm happy to introduce the new GSL podcast co-host, Keegan Marias. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome back Keegan Marias to the podcast. Keegan, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Wendell. Thanks for having me.
A lot of people have been asking, you know, for another voice on the podcast to kind of bring some consistency, some altered perspective, different types of analysis, and your name jumped to mind right away, being from a different team, but also being a long-term veteran of the league. So joining as a part-time co-host, what kind of analysis and perspective are you hoping to bring to the podcast?
Just my views and how I see the games when they take place, and also the different viewpoints, because I talk to a lot of players sometimes during the games and after the games. So I'll hopefully be able to share some of their input as well.
Yeah, exactly. We're always trying to get other players' perspectives, inputs, what they think went wrong or went right, and how they view the league, because it's amazing. When you talk to different people, you get completely different stories or completely different outlooks on how they thought a game went or what the strengths or weaknesses of their team. So always great to get another perspective. Happy to have you on board. So what we're going to do right away is we'll jump into the match recaps. So we'll start off with the first game, Aguada 1, Donapala 1, with goals from Steven Fernandez on Aguada and Lennox Vax of Donapala. It's a new name to me. So right away, what jumps out to me regarding this game is a huge, huge result for Donapala. I've stated before how Aguada is a little bit inconsistent with their players, who shows up and who doesn't, and that their regular season might suffer as a result. But even given that, the fact that Donapala was able to manage to challenge them and end up with a point, I think is a wonderful result for them. So what do you think about this game and the final result of a tie?
Yeah, it's an absolutely incredible result for Donapala, and hopefully they can build on this and their season moving forward. For Aguada, though, you know, seeing them in the regular season and the playoffs, it's two different teams. So it's not something that will affect them, and they're able to bounce back from that. So it shouldn't be an issue for them moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've always said that Donapala's goal should be to stay competitive in games, keep the score tight, try and obviously get some wins and some ties. It'll help them in the standings as well as confidence going into the playoffs. And I've always thought that if they can go into the playoffs on a high, improving on their points total from the season, and manage to win a quarterfinal game and even just get to the semifinals no matter what happens, I thought that would be a huge success for them. Do you share a similar view, or what do you think the goals of Donapala should be?
Yeah, I think you're right on the right track about keeping games competitive and keeping it close, because I know a couple of years ago they were always letting, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals a game even sometimes, but keeping Aguada to just one goal is pretty impressive. So if they can build on that and keep themselves in games as, like, you know, towards the 80th minute or towards the end of the games, there's more of a chance for them to sneak in an equalizer and get some points when they can.
Exactly, and I think they're really a confidence team, meaning they'll play better the more confident their players are, especially with the younger team. That's usually the way it works. So building on these results, getting these good results, can only help them. As far as Aguada, you know, Steven Fernandez, the reigning MVP and Golden Boot winner, getting on the board with his first goal, which is great to see. You're, you know, a former Golden Boot winner. You had the record tied for the record before Steven
beat. Had the record, yes.
Yeah, had the record. I'm sure you were sad to see that record broken last year by Steven. What are your thoughts on his performance, not only from last year, but going forward this season? What does he have to do to justify being the reigning MVP and kind of making a name for himself rather than just going down as a one-season wonder?
Well, Steven's a great goal scorer. Like, I've seen it. We play with him indoor as well. You know, he's got an eye towards the goal at all times, which is important for somebody that's playing up top. he'll pick it back up. You know, he's like great goal scorers. They find a way to score goals. He gets himself into open spaces, and he can finish left foot, right foot. So he'll be up in the scoring charts pretty much every year. I wouldn't be concerned about that.
So one of the things that strikers really struggle with is it's kind of a paradox. As soon as you become great, everyone realizes you're great, and they start, you know, double teaming you, man marking you, and then it becomes even harder to perform. This is an issue I think he's going to have this year. Whereas last year, I mean, everyone knew Stephen Fernandez. I've known him for years. Everyone knows about him, in and out of the league, Viva Goa, things like that. But last year, it's like 22 goals in one season, just burst on the scene. But what that means is now he's going to draw attention from defenders, and people are going to game plan around that. They're going to go in knowing we need to neutralize him. So as a former Golden Boot winner yourself, what does he have to do to maintain his performances and keep getting goals, knowing that the other team is going to plan their defense literally around him as a striker?
Yeah, he'll definitely get more attention, but he'd have to work that a little bit harder just to get open. You know, maybe pull some double moves, send defenders one way and then go another way. He'll have to work a little harder just to create that extra bit of space. And when he gets the ball in space, he can finish.
Exactly. And that's why I was mentioning on the first episode, I think the absence of Lester Fernandez with that foot injury is really going to hurt him, because he's another guy that draws attention away and pulls the defenders to one side. And that really helps Steven get a lot of space going up the middle.
Absolutely. And missing Casey and Ian in the midfield also makes a big difference in terms of how much space they create and their vision in terms of passes as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every good striker needs a good midfielder feeding him the ball. So overall, great result for Donna Paula. I think 2 points dropped by Aguada. Let's move on to the next game. We had Lotlum 3, Aldana 0, with goals from yourself, Nicholas Green, and Carl Mascarenhas. From the Aldana perspective, I wasn't able to attend, unfortunately, myself, but the feedback I got was that we had limited subs, but people were fighting really hard, trying to keep the game close, and at halftime it was 0-0. But I've said many times that the brilliance of Lotlum is not so much the pressure they apply, it's the duration of the pressure. You can survive it for 45 minutes, you can survive it for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, but it's a constant onslaught that at some point is going to break. And 3 goals in the second half. So what were your thoughts on the game, and what perspective can you give us on a summary basis of how you saw the game?
I think it was 1-0 just before half. So we went in with the lead. But overall, I think the scoreline doesn't justify how close the game was. 3-0 flatters us a little bit. There were huge pockets of that game where you guys actually had a lot of possession and were able to move the ball. The new signings, the young guys that you had, played really well in midfield, and a really, you know, slick passing game, something that we don't usually associate with you guys. No offense.
Yeah, no offense taken.
They actually did really well in terms of holding the ball, and we were a little bit sloppy in the final third, rushing things a little bit with our passes, so we weren't able to create as many chances as we would have liked. But overall, I think we took the chances that we got. There were a couple of mistakes made by your team that led to some of the goals, and we were able to finish those, but the game was a lot closer than the scoreline suggested.
Yeah, exactly. And I mentioned this earlier in the episode, actually, but in a similar way that Lotlum's always been known as a very offensively great team, but is now trying to establish himself as a defensive team as well, we're kind of the opposite. We've always been known as a great defensive team, but now we're trying to establish ourselves as an offensive team and having possession and making plays. And as you mentioned, a lot of that's going to come down to our younger generation, younger recruits, to maintain the energy and maintain possession, which is, you know, a dangerous game, because if you're relying on possession, you know, one slip up in the middle, one errant pass in the defense, and it can lead to a turnover and a goal. So it's a very, very difficult game to play, but I think it's necessary for our team to evolve. One thing I noticed from, you know, the goal scorers, whenever I report Lotlum games, you have your, you know, your common suspects, your common names, but always usually each game one new name pops up in and out, this time that being Carl Mascarenhas. So I've noticed you guys have a lot of forwards, a lot of different goal scorers, a lot of offensive threats. From a leadership point of view, I mean, you have Ron, I know you're vocal as well. How do you manage everyone's egos and playing time? Because the part that's very difficult when you have so many talented players is managing playing time. Everyone wants to play all the time. So how do you guys approach that, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, it's not always easy when you have the depth that we have in all positions. So minutes sometimes can be a problem. We always try to keep everyone fresh. So we try to rotate as much as possible. In terms of starting lineups, we always go by, you know, who practices and who shows up to the games early. That's kind of like how we try to put the best team out there. But we try to keep everyone fresh and try to get everyone minutes just to keep them involved, because there are times when you need contributions from everyone. It's a long season. People miss games, you know, for weddings, trips. They're away, being hungover sometimes.
Only in the Going Soccer League.
Exactly. So you need contributions from all 18, 20 players. So it's important to keep them involved and so they can contribute when needed.
Okay, and from a team mentality point of view, I mean, I've already said it's championship or bust for you guys. I'm sure you guys agree with that, especially being the defending Agreed. Champion. Do you think it's possible to have another undefeated season this year? Is that something you guys still care about, or is it more we show up to win, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, we would honestly love to, but that's not what we focus on, you know, when we go into every game. We always want to defend solidly and play our possession game. And when we do that well, we put ourselves in a position to win, which eventually would lead to another undefeated season, hopefully. But that's not something that we look at long term. We try to take it one game at a time and just play solid at the back and then move the ball well, which is always our goal.
All right, perfect. That makes a lot of sense. Let's move on to our last game, which was Margao 3, Kolva 1. Goal for Kolva by Johnny Van Dreen, and for Margao by Dwayne Lobo Perez and Gregory D'Souza getting two goals. First thing that jumped out to me is a great result for Margao. They really want to try and get as many points as they can from all the teams that aren't named Lotlum, of course. And Dwayne having another goal here. My thoughts on Dwayne has always been he's a silent, brooding midfielder. He terrorizes the middle. He's very difficult to play against. And his main attribute that people don't realize is, although he's so good on the ball and defensively, he scores goals. He always pops up on offense, and he's always scoring goals. So what are your thoughts when you play against Dwayne? And do you agree with me, or do you have a different perspective?
No, I agree. Dwayne's a great player and has been for many, many years now. I think he plays a little bit further up now, so that's why we'll see him scoring a few more goals. They don't have the attacking players like they used to, so he's forced to do more up front. But he's been a great player for a long time, and it's good to see him scoring goals.
Yeah, exactly. And I always talk about this Margao fear factor. I'm not sure if you have a particular team that you've always not so much been nervous about to play, but more you know you always like, oh, okay, this is going to be a tough one going in, or you're dreading this game, or you know it's going to be very difficult from the outset. I've always thought personally that was Margao growing up in the league, and I feel like in recent years they've lost that fear factor. Do you agree with this, or do you think that they're just in kind of a rebuilding mode, or is that the same mentality you have when you play them, or what are your thoughts on Margao in general?
Yeah, I always loved playing Margao. There never was a fear factor, but going into the game, I kind of know what you mean, because there was always, you know, the Margao game was going to be really physical, which is not always the case now. They'd always be, you know, flying into tackles. They'd let you know they were there. That it's not the same. The players right now don't have the same impact that the previous team did. So I can see what you mean when you said that.
Yeah, so I think that's something, they're not actively working on it, but I think it's something, definitely a mentality, because Margao, they have the coaches, they have the players, they pride themselves on being kind of like the bad boys of the league. Like, as much as they say, oh, the refs are against us, and you know, we always get a bad rap, like, I think they kind of enjoy being that team that everyone knows, like, this is going to be a physical game, as you said, or they're not going to let up on us, they're going to be really aggressive. And I think that they've kind of lost that in recent years. Maybe it's because the older generation is kind of stepping down and retiring, not playing as much, and you have this younger generation that doesn't maybe have that same mentality. I think that's something that they're going to have to work on going forward if they want to maintain that identity.
Possibly. And they have a good structure in terms of coaching and leadership, so it might take them a couple of years, but they'll probably get back to that system soon.
And then on the other hand, we have Kolva. Last episode, I named them the contenders, the pretenders. I'm not going to judge them based on one result against a very good team of Margao, but I do think this is the season they really have to let us know which side of the aisle they're on. Goal from Johnny Van Dreen, absolute phenom of a player in the league, and him and his brother Noah are really going to be crucial to their success. What are your views on them? Do you think Kolva, would you lean pretender or would you lean contender?
I should mention, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were short when they started the game. I believe they only played with 9 players at the start and then maybe had 10 or 11 as the game went on. So that also impacted their legs towards the end when they conceded a couple of goals. But I think they have a ton of potential. Like you mentioned, they're young guys also. Johnny, his brother, and a couple other of the midfielders, who I can't remember their names right now, have tremendous potential. Play the game, you know, the way I like to play it in terms of, you know, select passing and movement. So it'll take them a couple of years just to develop that experience and build a team around them to put their, you know, star players in a position to succeed. But I think they can contend in a couple of years for sure.
Okay, so you think that they're on the right track and they're just a couple of years out?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll take a little bit of work, and hopefully if they have the right senior players around them and can guide them in terms of how to win a playoff games, because I feel that's important as well. But they definitely do have the talent. Given the right direction, they should be able to make a deep run into the playoffs.
You see, I would agree. I think the issue they're going to have is in a couple of years, their younger guys are going to hit like their absolute prime. I think they're already kind of almost there, but they're going to be an absolute dominant prime form in about 2 years. But that veteran presence that they so desperately need, that actually leads them and keeps them calm and keeps them cohesive, is really at the tail end. You know, Ryan Santiago, people like him in the back. So I think that they might end up missing their window if they don't time it properly. They really need to take advantage of the veteran leadership they have right now and the raw, pure talent in their youth they have right now. And that's why I feel like it's easy to say in 2 years, you know, those guys will peak and they'll be a contender. But I'm worried about the timing between their veterans and their youth.
I think they have a couple of players in between, too, that they can kind of guide them through that. You know, there's Nikola Kadbed, I can't remember the guy who plays striker, scores a lot of goals normally. I'm blanking on his name right now. They have a couple of people that can help them who are kind of in that in-between stage where they're not, you know, veterans yet, but they still have quite a bit of experience in the league.
Yeah, and I think they're banking on Jeremy Pinto as well as another name to...
Jeremy, yeah, that was his name. Sorry.
Exactly, to be that bridge between the young group and the veteran group, because he's in the age range and he's been on the team for a while, so he's taking more of a leadership role, as he said last season. So overall, great result for Margao. Kolvo will have to bounce back and really get some good results going forward. So that concludes our match recap. One thing we're trying to do this season each week, if possible, is kind of do a player profile.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
So we'll be picking one player that we'd like to talk about in more detail. And this week I threw it over to you and said you can pick someone that you want to talk about more. So go ahead.
Yeah, it was tough when you threw that over to me because we have so many strong players. We have so much depth in all positions. But one name that kind of gets missed out in all the recaps because he plays defense is Josh Coelho. He plays center defense for us. Absolutely amazing. He's only 21 years old. Is amazing at reading the game, plays with so much maturity, is good in the air. He's a 6'2", 6'3". He can play anyone one-on-one in space or even guard somebody in the box. He's just absolutely phenomenal and doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Absolutely so calm on the ball. He's able to start all our moves with passing at the back. I just wanted to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, no, I think Josh is great at the back. I think when he first came onto your team, he was thrust into like a 90-minute center back role, like a lot of responsibility. I think he handled it very well. He's got great possession, can obviously receive and make a pass, which is important on your team because you guys love to play through the back and keep possession. So your defensemen need to be comfortable on the ball. They cannot have turnovers. I think his greatest asset is his ability in the air. Not only defensively, winning headers, but more on offense. I constantly see him as a target for you guys on corner kicks, and he's always trying to attack the ball and score some headers. The downside to him I saw originally was his physicality. He's a tall guy, but he's very lanky, he's very thin. So in the GSL, sometimes muscle always prevails in the sense that you can be very talented, but you can easily be bodied off the ball, and the league is very, very physical. Do you think that's something he's actively working on or has improved on, or what do you think about his physicality?
He has been in the past couple of years. He was probably, you know, I don't want to say skinny, but when he was maybe 5 years ago. But right now there's very few people that can push him off the ball. He's been working on the last couple of years. I know he goes to the gym regularly, but his strength is definitely an asset now.
Yeah, exactly. And from your perspective, I mean, you need him at the back, leading your line and passing from the back. Are you guys completely comfortable with his on-the-ball possession and his ability to make a pass? Or is it more of He's great at the back defensively. We run everything through Neil as a center defensive midfielder. He's our playmaker, and we only go to the defense as necessary.
No, we have absolutely full confidence in him with the ball. We're always pushing him to, you know, improve his passing and be quicker with decisions, just so we can move the ball quicker up. But we're absolutely confident with him on the ball. We're never worried that he'll make a mistake and give it away. Even in the rare occasions when he does, he's able to chase people down and win it back without any problems.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that he's 21 is absolutely crazy. He's very confident for a 21-year-old. I wouldn't have guessed that that was his age. So definitely a bright prospect for you guys going forward. That's going to conclude this episode. Thanks again for coming on. We'll be having you regularly on the podcast. So if anyone wants to send any messages, please feel free to reach out to myself or Keegan if you see him at the games. We're always happy to give shout-outs and get your thoughts on the different matches, different players. And if you think there's a specific player that should get a player profile next week, for sure message us, and we'll hope to feature them on the podcast. So that concludes this episode. Thanks a lot, Keegan, for coming along. It's always great to have you.
Anytime. Thank you, Mendel.
One last note I wanted to make before I sign off is even the best newspapers in the world have retractions on sometimes they publish articles that were incorrect. And unfortunately, I made an error on last week's podcast. I spoke about the wonderful talents and abilities of Garen D'Souza, who was returning from a leg injury to Kolva, and how he likes to dominate the central midfield and has great touch and hustle. Unfortunately, the Kolva guys were laughing and ripped on me because this is actually Gavin Diaz that I was thinking of and talking about. I confuse them because they're both on Kolva and they both have leg injuries that took them out of last season. So my apologies to Kolva and to Gavin and Garen. Garen, I'm sure you're a great player as well, and I look forward to seeing you back in action this season. But it was Gavin that I was talking about. All right, I hope you enjoyed another episode of the GSL podcast. As always, we'll be back next week. So tune in for a brand new episode.